You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go back to the Progressive Guest Line. Progressive Insurance, bundle and protect today under one roof. Learn more at progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. The only number one seed that is left in the Final Four is Kansas. Jordan Guskey joins us from the Topeka Capital Journal to talk Jayhawks and their journey to the Final Four. How are you, Jordan?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Great. Let's get an idea on this Jayhawks team. Is this been a sort of similar Jayhawks team, just very good, just another Bill Self talented-laden team, or have there been obstacles that this team has overcome to get to this point?
Yeah, I feel like every team has some obstacles. I mean, if you look at Remy Martin had an injury that affected him for a significant portion of the season, including the Big 12 conference slate. They still get the share of the regular season title. Then, you know, as Remy comes back, you go win the Big 12 tournament, and now we're in the Final Four. I mean, they got demolished, really, the only way to say it, by Kentucky, and got a glimpse of what they needed to do to actually be a title contender like they are now. So definitely, you know, like a lot of Bill Self teams, a lot of talent, made a run in the tournament. But, yeah, this team has definitely had its own struggles that it's worth it to get here.
How quick is this team? That is the one factor that they say, well, Villanova may not be able to handle the quickness. How fast is this team?
Oh, really fast. I mean, if you've ever seen this team get out in transition, it's something to watch, whether it's Remy leading it, whether it's Jalen Wilson leading it, you know, Ochai or Christian, led it as well. It's not going to get out of fast break. This team gets out quick, and it's super hard to deal with. It's why teams, you know, try to keep them from getting in transition offense so often, because of how effective they can be in it.
What is the one thing about the Villanova Wildcats, and without Justin Moore, it kind of changes this a bit, but what is it about Villanova that might be problematic for Kansas?
Yeah, you know, I feel like it's just, maybe it's an obvious answer, but the way they post up their guards, just, yeah, like Kansas has guards who have length, like, you know, Juan is someone who has length, maybe only be about 6'1", but, you know, he's got length. But, man, Kansas hasn't played a team like Villanova that posts guards up like that yet this year. So I think that's going to be a significant thing they're going to have to be ready for, going to have to deal with. And even though Justin Moore's out, like you said, it doesn't mean Villanova's going to stop playing like Villanova.
How good was the Big 12? I mean, we know Baylor was coming off a national championship win, and then Texas Tech had one of the best defensive teams in the country. Texas was, you know, was a 20-plus wins team, TCU as well. How tough was the Big 12? This is something Kansas has dominated for many, many, many years. But how improved was the conference? How good was the conference for them to navigate it this season?
I think the conference is great. I mean, initially I had Texas Tech making a Final Four run when I made out my own bracket. So, it was a great conference season this year. You know, I think Texas probably underachieved, maybe relative to expectations. But overall, you know, Big 12 was great this year. Baylor, if it had been 100%, probably makes its own run. But it was a great conference season. I think definitely prepared Kansas well for where it is now.
I want you to go back to the regular season. I know regular season in college basketball, it's a hit or miss. Some things mean nothing. Some means mean a lot. But that blowout by Kentucky at Kansas, what did that mean to the team? How did they react to that? How did the fans react to that? Because it was eye-opening to a lot of people for whoever takes those kind of things and tries to get some mileage out of it.
Yeah, I think, in the moment, it's like, hey, it's just one game. Like, don't try to overreact one game,
right.
Don't underreact one game. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, that was a game that even, you know, David McCormick and Bill Self talked about yesterday as being, you know, a real turning point for the team because of what it showed them of what is necessary to be a team that's a national championship contender. So would they have learned those things without the Kentucky game? You know, maybe, probably. You know, it's a long season. But, yeah, I think that Kentucky game deserves a lot of credit, even though it's a loss, for getting Kansas where it is now.
I saw that Mark Emmert was asked about the sort of problems Kansas is having. He wanted to say, look, this kind of Kansas is Kansas, and team schools can do what they want with coaching. Is there a cloud that is hanging over this team from those investigations?
You know, I think it'd be irresponsible to say there isn't a cloud, but, you know, the cloud's also been there for so long.
Sure.
Like, So I think to an extent, this team understands already how to deal with it. The cloud was there before the season started, so it's not like it's new. I think there is some sort of cloud, but also, you know, this investigation has been going on for a while. This resolution has been pending for a while. So to the extent which I think it actually truly affects them is probably very minimal at this point.
Let's talk about Remy Martin for a second. How did he adapt to playing at Kansas? How? I mean, we know it worked out, but how, coming in a transfer portal sort of situation, how did he adjust quickly, and how did Bill Self utilize him right away?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if they tried to adjust quickly, but I think it's taken time for Remy to truly become a part of this Kansas program because, yeah. I mean, I think Bill Self sort of referenced it in different ways, just in talking about transfers in general, where you have these experienced transfers come in, but they're not experienced in your system, right? So, like, Remy's played for a year at Arizona State, but this is his first year at Kansas. Jalen Coleman Lands has been in college basketball seemingly forever, but this is his first year at Kansas. They got a redshirt from a lower division program, but this is his first year at Kansas. And so I think it took time for Remy to truly get into this system, and then you had the injury on top of that. It took time for Remy to get fully back to 100%, which I feel like he is now. But I feel like, you know, Remy's definitely come on strong, and I mean, he just won the Midwest Region Most Outstanding Player for that part of it. So I think he's definitely come on strong.
As we try to get, you know, we're trying to sort of look at these teams and trying to give people an idea of these teams who aren't watching them on a regular basis. This is a question I've been asking everyone in our previews. Give me the identifier of what this team is. If you watch the game Saturday and you start noticing, oh, Kansas does this really well, and they are doing this well against Villanova, what would those things be if they're multiple ones?
Yeah, I think you asked it. It's that speed. Like, are you seeing that speed out on the court? Like, whether or not they're hitting shots, like, you know, that'll come, that'll go. That's just the nature of basketball. But if this team is getting out fast, getting in transition, that sort of deal, that's when you know Kansas is going to be a game. Because when it, you know, it was down 6 at the half against Miami in the Elite Eight, it wasn't doing those sort of things too well. But second half, when it really went on its run and, you know, put Miami away, that's exactly what it was doing. Mm-hmm. And that's when you're going to know you're watching Kansas basketball. It's hype.
Yeah, Villanova, in talking to people about Villanova, it's like one consistent thing is, you know, Villanova, if you want to drag them down into a very low-scoring sort of slugfest, they can beat you there. They can beat you in a higher-scoring game. Is Kansas capable of doing that, too? Does Villanova have to slow this down in order to emerge victorious? And if they do, can Kansas just play a different style of game and still be okay?
Yeah, you know, I think Villanova probably should try to do that. It should try to get Kansas to just run its half-court offense, that sort of deal, that sort of plan. But does Kansas have to be in that position? Does Villanova have to be in that position to win? I don't think so. You know, Kansas has been in its share of high-scoring games. But, you know, I definitely think if, you know, there's a perfect picture out there, it would be Villanova, you know, for Villanova winning, it would be Villanova slowing that game down. And making Kansas run half-court stuff and trying to beat it that way. You know, some of these low-scoring games that Villanova's been a part of recently.
All right. Again, just Jordan Guskey, the Topeka Capital Journal. Thank you so much for your insight on the Kansas Jayhawks. Really appreciate it.
No problem, man.
You got it. Again, Jordan Guskey talking Kansas, placing Villanova in the first game. Progressive Insurance, what do your home and auto have in common? They're yours, and Progressive protects them both. Bundle today at Progressive.com. All right, we'll come back. We'll analyze that matchup in particular. A lot of focus on Duke, North Carolina, but don't sleep on Villanova, Kansas when we come back on Wake Up Call.